Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello and welcome to another video and podcast from Fantasy Football Scout as we look ahead to Fantasy Premier League double game week 25. It's General's Orders time with Mark, aka the FPL General, who will be revealing his thoughts and plans for the upcoming game week. My name is Joe. Mark, welcome. How are you?
I'm good, Joe. Had a decent game week. I've been struggling with illness though over the last few days, so I was touch and go whether I was going to get here. My nose has been leaking all weekend, so yeah. Hopefully I can get through this.
Yeah, you've had some issues with leaks and things over the weekend. I think we all have as well. Some people on social media were leaking the team news before we were coming out. I think around Liverpool and more importantly Man City as well. So lots of us have Man City and Liverpool assets. So. That was acted on, but there's a lot of debate went on social media over the ethics of doing that and how it has transformed the game and how difficult it makes the hour before deadline as well.
But, yeah, it's just like I say, we won't get into too much details, but it's just I guess it's the way the game is now. You know, it's the information's there, mm-hmm. and of course, if it is there, you've got to use it because you're never going to make a decision. Mm-hmm. If you're thinking about buying a player and you find out they're benched, you're obviously not going to go ahead with your plan. So it's, I think the thing that frustrates me is just that you are a slave. And I often, it's fine for us in this time zone, but I often think of people, you know, you see it on Twitter, people set alarms for 3 a.m, 4 a.m.
Yeah.
And like you say, when you've got jobs to do or you've got family, you know, it's people end up being for that, you know, hour before the deadline.
Yeah.
You get kind of stuck to your phone or whatever. I know it's by choice as well, of course, but a lot of people want to do well at this game. And again, it's something, you know, we're probably just going to have to get used to it. I put my tweet out just in a frustrated moment. Mm-hmm. And, you know, if I could turn back time, I probably wouldn't put the tweet out because it wasn't worth the notifications and the mentions over the weekend. Great. And the trolls obviously come out as well. But that's what the mute and block functions are for.
Yeah, I mean, I've always maintained I think that the deadline should be moved to just before kickoff so that we've all got a level playing field in terms of the team sheets. And I know a lot of FPL managers from around the world will say, well, what about us? But at the moment, they're at disadvantage. There's people leaking that information. You have to spend the hour, half an hour, sometimes 10 minutes before the deadline, trying to think, well, how shall I act on this information? But also, is it real, this information? Do I trust this leaker? And I mean, that's almost like an oxymoron. Do I trust the person who's leaking the information, who already is perhaps untrustworthy within their media organization or club? But I always think if I was around the world, I think it'd be much better to wake up, set the alarm for an hour before the deadline. You've got the team sheet there. There's no leak. That's it. It's the team sheet. It's there. It's in front of you. You can think, oh, they're starting. They're not starting. I'll make that move. I'll go back to sleep again. Or just relax, but rather than this panic. But anyway, that's my thoughts on it. And I know I've said this a lot of times on social media and people around the world saying, but what about us? But I mean, okay, if you want to have a really hectic time at 3 a.m, or just a more relaxed time. But let's move on to the matter at hand. Double game week 25. And how we tackle that as well. I'll just put your current team up. Just we'll briefly look at that because we've still got another match to go. You've got two more players to go. A lot of us have Palmer. A lot of us don't have Palmer and are worried about his potential score against a lacklustre Crystal Palace at the moment. But got your team up here. You've got 73 points, gone up. Nice green arrow, healthy green arrow up to 57k. Who did you get in? What were your changes for game week 24?
Yeah, it was I had two free transfers, and Friday night quite late, I did Jared Bowen to Diogo Jota. I was close to doing that on the Monday night previously before the price changes, but just needed a bit more information. And then Saturday morning, actually late Friday night, there was, you know, had a few friends over, had a few drinks, and wasn't on my phone for 5 or 6 hours, and then I went on and all I could see was Darwin Nunez gifts everywhere. Seemed like every man and their dog were buying him, and some were even going to captain him as well. So he was already in my thoughts before that. But I did the sensible thing, didn't make the under the influence transfer, took another couple of price changes overnight. And then Saturday morning, I think about 10:30, just made the move Watkins to Darwin. So it went well because Jota and Darwin both scored and Bowen and Watkins blanked. I was very fearful of Watkins because high ownership, had him all season and had some very good chances. So I've got Onana to thank for my green arrow. So it feels good, 73 points and Gusto and Palmer to go. So things can only get better, hopefully, on Monday night. So might even be inside the top 50K for the first time. So a good game week. But obviously a couple of issues with Trent and stuff like that to discuss.
Yeah, I'm on similar. 72 points. So just 1 point behind. But I've just got Palmer to go. But yeah, I did similar moves. But I removed Solanke for Darwin. So I'm doing a Solanke Darwin hokey cokey. I'll probably get Solanke back in 26. Just the way my team is set up, even though he faces City then. But I'm just sort of rolling the Darwin dice.
I had a decision to make. Was it Watkins or Solanke to go? And the reason I sold Watkins instead reluctantly was just freeing up more cash, because I thought if I sell Watkins instead of Solanke, I can do Saka to De Bruyne in one move for the double game week. Obviously, that might change now because, you know, Saka's done well. Trent might be out. So, but I just kind of came to the conclusion that regardless of fixture, Solanke's fine because he's got penalties. He's the talisman. Yeah. He could get a six-pointer against anyone. So, and I'm going to want him back later. So, and very much like yourself, Watkins went, but very likely come back for Darwin in 26.
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing there. I mean, I got Van Dijk in as well as one of my moves. Even though he blanked, I got him in mainly because that Burnley game, I just thought Burnley are so bad at set pieces. And there was this moment in about 5 minutes towards the end where it's Van Dijk. It wasn't, but he was going up. He was up for that corner. And we've seen the damage that Gabriel and Saliba have done this week to many teams who don't own them, yourself included. And that's going to become a theme of this episode. So I've done a table of replacements, perhaps, possibly for Alexander-Arnold, who is flagged at the moment, and whether Arsenal assets might be on your radar. Let's have a look at the season ticker. If you just bear with me a second, I'll just go back to the current game week. And if you just bear with me a second, I'll just make sure that I can get that season ticker up on the screen. If you just bear with me.
Yeah, just while you're doing that, Joe, I'll just come in on the Arsenal thing. It was I when I wildcarded in game week 20, I was one of those managers. Game week one had Gabriel and didn't get a chance to make the switch to Saliba with 5 minutes to go. And then, you know, had him all the way through to game week 20, got him back up to 5 million. Got a few points from him in the end from a few clean sheets, and then decided, overthink it on the wild card, I'll go David Raya instead, because it opened the door for what I thought would be a more attack-minded defender in someone like Per versus Stupinen. And of course, since then, Gabriel's absolutely smashed it. 2 goals, plenty of points. And at least David Raya is there to cover the clean sheets. But Arsenal have definitely worked on set pieces, which is very clear. I think when both centre-backs are scoring in the same game, it says a lot. So very, very much open to going back there.
Yeah, I'm very much like a lot of people. They're wondering where the clean sheets have gone. I mean, I'm struggling to get any clean sheets. I did get one, obviously, from Arsenal this week. But it's really difficult to get a clean sheet at the moment. So I'm looking for attacking returns, looking for assist potential and goal potential, as well, scoring potential as well. This is why I went for Van Dijk, because I thought, well, you know, he can get the odd goal at set pieces. And why I went for Gabriel initially in game week one, even though he was a rotation risk. And I did hear from the commentary that Arsenal do have a set piece coach, a particular good set piece coach. And I think that's fairly evident that they are really going for that. And so a very good set piece team like Arsenal against a very poor one, at defending set pieces like Burnley, is a really good idea. And they've got Arsenal have Burnley in game week 25. So Van Dijk was against Burnley in 25. Didn't work out for me. Gabriel and Saliba, they had a good audition against West Ham. And in the fixtures here, we can see that Saka and those Arsenal defenders has Burnley in game week 25. So that's the big decision, isn't it? Because that's changed your idea. Because you were probably thinking De Bruyne are out for Saka. But Saka's probably going nowhere now, is he?
Yeah, it's kind of the way I play the game is if players, you know, do perform very well in recent times, I find it extremely difficult to sell them. That's why it was very hard to lose Watkins. But it was always the conclusion was Darwin has three games, possibly three games. Watkins has two. Yeah. Get Watkins back very soon afterwards. So that made it easier to do. But yes, Saka, I'm always reluctant to sell him. I've been quite loyal to him. He's been on my team for the most part of this season. And I'm kind of, obviously you don't like seeing players get injured, but I'm kind of hoping that Trent does miss the double now because that will make my mind up for me. Mm-hmm. And I could just take the Trent funds instead of Saka funds and get Kevin De Bruyne that way. It'll just then leave a decision on which defender to go for. So, Saka probably likely to stay now.
Rightio. Yeah, so the fixtures I've got on screen show, I've sorted by difficulty right up to game week 31. They show two things. One, not only which teams have the best overall fixtures over this period, but it shows the double game weeks here. And this is what we're immediately faced with. In game week 25, you've got Brentford and City, Luton and Liverpool all play twice, of which Brentford play Liverpool City, which is the toughest. Luton have Manchester United at home, then Liverpool. Manchester City, probably the most favourable, with Chelsea and Brentford both at home. And Liverpool as well, pretty favourable. Brentford away and Luton at home. Meanwhile, 26, Luton, Liverpool, Tottenham and Chelsea all blank as well. So we've got to sort of navigate that period without too many hits, hopefully. And then game week 28, Bournemouth play Sheffield and Luton at home. So Solanke, that's why I'm going to be getting back in. That's why Mark has kept him. And then Luton play Crystal Palace and Bournemouth both away. So good double game weeks there. And then game week 29, we have an issue there. So we've got a full set of fixtures there, but it won't be. A lot of those will be blank because of the FA Cup. So we know that Aston Villa West Ham game is going ahead. And there are, we've got West Ham and Aston Villa, Fulham, Tottenham, Burnley and Brentford are definitely going ahead. And it's very likely that it's possible that Luton could be have a double game. It could be that Manchester United have a game in that week. So we're not a double game, we're an actual game in that week. But time will tell. But not many fixtures going. So Villa assets as well. So Watkins, that's why you want to get him back, because he plays in 29 and 26.
Yeah, and it's more so 26 because possible captain, home to Nottingham Forest, very, very good fixture. So yeah, from 26 onwards, Watkins has Forest and Luton, then a Tottenham team who don't keep very many clean sheets at all either. So it's very much set in stone if there's no injuries or anything like that. Darwin, who has a blank in 26, goes back out after his seven goals in the double game week for Watkins.
Yeah. Definitely. So we can see here that Bournemouth, Crystal Palace, who are actually bad run of form, but have good fixtures, Brentford, Luton, Fulham, Manchester City and Newcastle are among the best sides in terms of fixtures. Arsenal's are pretty good as well. It's just because they've got a Manchester City clash in game week 30, but their fixtures are pretty good. And then meanwhile, Chelsea, Sheffield United, Tottenham, largely because of that blank, but they also have an Aston Villa match in there as well. They're quite low down, and Brighton have gone from like the near the top to right down the bottom, really, because they've got this terrible 29-30 clash, Man City and Liverpool, like back to back. So their assets are sort of becoming less appealing as those fixtures come into fruition. But they had, do have Sheffield United away next, and Everton and Nottingham Forest at home during that period. So yeah, lots to think about. We've got lots to navigate with these, all these different fixture blocks. I mean, are you planning many, many hits at all?
Not many, you know, pre-planned, but I'm definitely going to be taking one or two along the way, especially when we get to game week 26. I will not have 11. So I'll be open to taking a couple of hits if need be to get to 10 or 11 players. And early thoughts, but the way, if the cup games go as we expect, or we, you know, the bookies odds, if they go that way, I'm probably going to, very high chance I'll free hit in 29. So it's more so the hits will be geared towards 26 and maybe the double in 28 for Bournemouth and Luton. But just while we're on the fixture ticker, I'm finding this very useful actually to look at, you know, 25 to 30, because you can get tunnel visioned into, you know, buy a double game week defender, you know, for example, Doughty at Luton. But it's good to have a bigger picture. You know, I'm looking here at this from 25 to 28. It's telling me, you know, Doughty has an extra fixture over Arsenal defenders, over Liverpool defenders. But is that worth it? Because it's, there's a Man United in there, there's a Liverpool in there. And then I'm looking at the top of the fixture ticker as well. I'm looking at Bournemouth. So they've got also five fixtures, 25 to 28. But Newcastle and Man City come first. So if I was looking for a Bournemouth defender like a Senesi, for example, who scored again, you know, 27 onwards for a Senesi, Burnley, double game week, Sheffield United, Luton, and then good afterwards as well, Wolves, Everton, Palace. So a cheap Bournemouth defender from 27 onwards could be useful for the double and then maybe for the bench.
Okay. Well, I've done a table and I haven't got any Bournemouth defenders there. So obviously Senesi's on your mind, and any other Bournemouth defenders as well. So as that, as that time goes on, I don't think any actually made my list. I sorted it by expected goal involvement, and I don't think any hit the expected goal involvement stats. I've called this Operation Get Reggie On Part 2, and it's for the last six matches. It's because last week you were looking at replacements for Estupinan, and on my list, and I flagged up Reggie On, and I don't think you were that keen on Reggie On. But he then promptly got 12 points. And I've got on this, I'll read out some of the stats in a sec, but I've got a new column called Reason to Get, and this is why Reggie On is good. He's got a double game week in 25. Yes, not a good double game week, but nevertheless a double game week. And he plays in blank game week 26, and that's really crucial. So he could be quite a valuable asset at 4.4. Nice enabler. Field him, see what happens. But the reason I've done this is because you've got Alexander Arnold, and are you definitely going to get rid of Alexander Arnold? Are you just, you just feel there's just too much doubt around his potential injury at the moment?
It's definitely dependent on what updates we get this week. And you know, we might not get too much clear cut information, but I've been on trend since the game week 20 wildcard, I think. So it's not as if I bought him soon. I don't feel like I need to keep him just because I've just bought him. Yeah. I do feel like as well, because Liverpool have that cup final a couple of days after the Luton game, and I feel how good Bradley has been, I would expect Bradley to get one game in the double, possibly the Luton game in the midweek. So the injury concerns, the emergence of Bradley is a very good alternative for Klopp, and wanting to keep Saka, it all points towards, even if we get positive news on Trent, that doesn't mean he's going to start both games. And I will be open to losing him to get De Bruyne and have Saka in there as well.
Okay. So what I've got on this list here, as I said, it's sorted by last six matches. And I've done it by expected goal involvement over that period. And this is the last six matches they have played. So it's not necessarily the last six game weeks. Hence Reggie On being on here, because he's been at a multitude of clubs over that period. And a lot of those he hasn't played. So it sort of stretches back a bit. So I put Alexander-Arnold at the top. I mean, he is at the top in terms of expected goal involvement. So this is the benchmark you're looking for. If you're looking to remove Alexander-Arnold, who does cost 8.6 million and has created 13 chances, 11 corners, has got a couple of assists and a couple of shots inside the box, he's sort of the benchmark there. Yeah. But Gabriel is right below him. 1.91 is expected goal involvement over that period. And he's had seven shots inside the box. Created chances, none. Goals, three. Seven shots inside the box. Three goals, last six matches. six starts, minutes per baseline bonus. He's got, so for the baseline bonus, it is the bonus point system. So this is basically the jobbing stuff that they do other than scoring or getting a clean sheet. So he's scoring very well there. He's getting one of those baseline bonus point system points every 6.5 minutes, which is very good. I mean, basically you should get Gabriel, but he doesn't have a double game week, but he does play. Reason to get blank game week 26. And you can probably filter in other reason to get Arsenal a set piece machine. And he scored 3 goals in 7 shots inside the box. Yeah.
I'm struggling with this cough. So Gabriel obviously sold him on the wild card. I probably shouldn't have done this video. I'm struggling here.
Now, do you want
take over for a second? I'll get a drink of
okay,
water.
Yeah, okay. I'll talk about Gabriel a little bit, but also some of the other names on this. What I'll do is I'll read out some of these other names on the list, and then when Mark's got his voice back, we'll come back to him. But the other name on this list, just below him, with an expected goal involvement of 1.61, is a doggy, Destiny a doggy at Tottenham. Now, I just got rid of Porro. Lots of other people have just got rid of Porro, heavily transferred out. And one of my reasons is that I actually want to get a doggy in. He's one of my targets to get. He's much cheaper than Porro. I've made money on Porro. Take the money and run. Move back to a doggy. And he's the one I'm looking at getting sort of after. He blanks in 26, but he plays in blank game week 29. So that's a reason to get. So after game week 26, 27, 28, 29... he is one of my top targets there. And that's why I put him on this list here. Because I just think, because Tottenham play and they have good fixtures. And he is actually higher than Porro. Porro was below a doggy, which is why I didn't put Porro in this list here. Just down to a doggy, Mark. Have you managed to get your sort of voice back together?
Yeah, hopefully I can survive. Okay. So yeah, looking at this list, I feel like before I even, if I kind of block out the noise and the double game weeks and all that kind of stuff, the simple move for me is just go back to Gabriel, because I regret losing him and he's punished me. And it's just, you know, I think Arsenal went away for that break for a wee while, and there was, you know, a lot of talk that they were working big time on the set pieces with this coach or whatever. And it's obvious, you know, it's just keeping FPL simple. You watch the Arsenal games, the set piece deliveries are good. Mm-hmm. Gabriel's a huge threat. It's not a fluke that he scored three goals. It's choreographed. He's really good in the box. And even though there's tempting double game week options out there, like Doughty and Reguilon and stuff like that, I feel like when I buy a player in FPL, I always think, can I keep this guy long term? And Gabriel feels like that. You know, you buy him back, you missed out on a few points, but maybe he's there then until the end of the season. And you know, we said there's not many clean sheets. Arsenal just kept one. They've got the best underlying defensive numbers. I've got Raya. So I quite like the double up. Yep. And obviously, if you're doubling up on a defence, you've got to think, will I ever want double attack? I've got Saka. Mm-hmm. Will I ever want Odegaard? I think I can survive without him because there's other midfielders elsewhere. Yep. Jesus is injured again. I don't feel like I'm going to be, you know, snookered by going double Arsenal defence and Saka. So at the moment, Gabriel's winning. But of course, you know, Alfie Doughty, I know there was no clean sheets and a poor result for Luton, but crazy that he created 9 chances in that single game.
Most of any player or any defender this season. Could be any player. It's certainly more than any other defender in a game this season, which is amazing.
I know someone sent me a tweet yesterday saying, you know, does the Luton results and performance put you off their assets? And I said, my reply was, you know, those stats for Doughty make me even more interested.
Yeah.
You know, you weren't, it's the famous FPL line this season. We're not buying defenders for clean sheets. Maybe the Arsenal ones, but Doughty, if you buy him, you know you're going to get, you know, deliveries from set pieces and open play and stuff like that. And he's a very good pick, and he's definitely in my thoughts.
Yeah.
It's probably Doughty versus Gabriel for me.
Yeah, so luckily they're the first two that I have highlighted here. Doughty has created 17 chances. He's had 6 shots inside the box. He's had 4 assists in his last 6 matches and a goal. He's got a double game week 25, blanks in 26, then a double game week in 28. Is why he's in my team and why I've been banging on about him for the last month. He's taken 40 corners, which is amazing. And he started every game, and his minutes per baseline bonus is 5.7. People were saying, why did Bell get bonus over Doughty? I had no idea. It's one of those great mysteries of life. Doughty puts in a record-breaking performance as a defender, and Bell walks away. The Luton defender Bell walks away with, was it two bonus he got, which I don't know. I cannot answer that.
It's funny, I've actually got Bell on my bench. Yeah. Not many people do, but makes me think, do I need an Alfie Doughty when I've got someone who can just, you know, create bonus points out of magic?
He's a magician or a thief of bonus points. I mentioned while you were sort of collecting your voice together, I mentioned a doggy as well. Now, I haven't highlighted him, but he's a player that I was saying he's on my radar, because Spurs definitely play in 29, one of the few teams too. They play Fulham. A doggy has overtaken Porro in terms of expected goal involvement. So he's higher than Porro. Expected goal involvement of 1.61. He's created 9 chances, had 3 shots inside the box, and got a goal and an assist. Plays in blank game week 29. He's one of my top priorities for game week 27, 28 period.
Adoghi, he probably gets overlooked by many, including myself, yeah, because I think early season we put Porro on such a high pedestal of what he did and what he could do and what he was showing, but it's probably dropped off a wee bit, and you can see that in the numbers with Adoghi. Adoghi gets in the box, you know, any Ange Postecoglou fullback is going to get in the box, and he's got a few goals, and obviously the big factor is the price. 4.9 is a lot more affordable than Pedro Porro. So yeah, I think I and many others need to, you know, give him more thought.
Yep. Next couple of names on the list, I haven't flagged them up because I don't think you'll get them this week, but you might do. I've got Matty Cash at Aston Villa. You could probably supplement with any other Villa defender, but which one? And the reason I like Villa defence, also a team that I'm interested in, because they play in blank game week 26 and 29. And I put Cash in there because his expected goal involvement over the last 6 matches is still 1.24. He's created 6 chances, had 4 shots inside the box. These are pretty good stats for a 4.6 defender. Initially, I would have thought, oh, Torres may be the one to get, but benched again. Moreno played over Luka Dean, but I think there could be rotation there. I just wonder, probably with Cash, there might be rotation. But yeah, I mean, an Aston Villa defender, and I think tentatively Cash could be the best one. Perhaps not this week, but blank game 26 onwards.
Yeah, I agree on the Villa defence. I think when it's kind of like a process of elimination that leads to Cash being left. While Cons is out, and I think the initial prognosis was 3 or 4 weeks, I think while he's out, Cash should be good. Torres is fit again, but I feel like him and Longley are quite similar players. Left for the centre backs, both pretty good. Diego Carlos has been, he's in the team recently, but he's been in and out throughout the season. And then you've got the left back competition because Luka Dean is fit again. So if you do want a Villa defender, and like we said, we don't get defenders for clean sheets anyway, so why not get the guy who used to be a winger and has a lot of attacking potential in Matty Cash?
Yeah, because Aston Villa's defence is so up in the air, really. That's a move I probably won't make until 29 myself, because I want to see Cash getting those regular starts. I want to see all his competition not playing and injured, basically. Not willing injury on them, but not available. A player to think about. I put Robertson in as well. Once again, you might not go for him, but he is 2 million cheaper or so than Alexander-Arnold. He has a double game week in 25. His expected goal involvement over his last 6 matches that he's played is 1.14. He's taken 17 corners, created 17 chances as well. So he's doing pretty well there with his corner and chance creation. He's had a couple of shots inside the box as well. But I think I slightly feel that with Liverpool assets in defence, last week might have been the time to do it because they had Burnley. And so I feel like I've got Van Dijk, but I'm probably going to get rid of him in game week 26 or 27. So I just feel it could be a bit too short term. But nevertheless, you know, I put him in there. Could be a short term move.
Yeah. Again, I've gone back to the fixture ticker while you've been talking about Liverpool. And it's obviously, if you're losing Van Dijk, or if we're forced to lose Van Dijk, then replacing him with a Liverpool defender is a very obvious thing to do. But again, if you take the bigger picture, and if I think about Gabriel again, you know, from 25 to 28, both teams have four fixtures. And one of the Liverpool fixtures is Manchester City in Game Week 28. So again, and price is a big one, because Robertson and Van Dijk, who we'll talk about as well, are a lot more expensive than a Gabriel or even a Saliba. So for me, Arsenal defenders win out over Liverpool for the longer term. And Doughty might even win out over them as well for the extra fixture.
Yeah, I mean, my current defence includes, and these are the three I'll be playing and have just played, is Gabriel, Van Dijk, Doughty. And to me, that looks like a really good sort of three defenders to get in, because there's, I'm thinking I ain't getting any clean sheet points. So I'll go for the guys that might get me a goal or an assist. Next name on the list is Reguilón. And that's the whole point I've done this. Reguilón, 4.4. I mean, I mentioned him to, did the live Q&A with Sam as well. She's a Spurs fan, so she knows about Reguilón. And I mentioned Reguilón as well onto her, and she laughed. everyone's laughing at Reguilón. But now they're talking about him. It's like with Alfie Doughty. Now they're interested. So he got a big haul in game week 24. Reasons to get. I mean, five chances created, not too bad. Expected goal involvement of 0.74 over those six matches. So not as good as the likes of Alexander-Arnold, obviously. Taken eight corners. Double game week 25, he plays. Blank game week 26, he plays. That's why I think he's really good asset to get in now. So if you can't quite get to Gabriel, I know for you, you can, and so you will. But if you're looking for a cheap defender to get, who's got a reason to get, you know, he's got three fixtures while others have two or one, then he is one to get, I think. But I can't persuade you, can I?
No, you're going to have to do a lot more than, you know, you have. I've come full circle on. You've done a good job on Alfie Doughty in recent weeks, but Reguilón, I don't think, is in the same class. It's encouraging to see him taking set pieces. I do like Brentford. They've got the double. But again, it comes back to fixtures. Even though Reguilón has an extra fixture over players like Van Dijk and Gabriel, those fixtures include Liverpool, Man City, Chelsea and Arsenal. So I feel like even though you've got five, the difficulty of those kind of levels the playing field. And when that's the case, again, it goes back to give me a player that I might keep until the second wild card, and that's going to be a player from a team near top of the table. So for that reason, I am out on Reguilón.
I'll try with Tom tomorrow, maybe, on goals. I'll get one bite. Nathan Aki's next. I remember you saying that if you were to get a City defender last week, you might go for Nathan Aki. He's had a couple of assists. Six shots inside the box. Reason to get, he plays double game week 25. So he's got two fixtures there. And blank game week 26, he plays as well. And a couple of clean sheets as well, which is rare. Not as good as Gabriel in terms of the goal and assist potential. But I put him in there. If you were to get a Man City defender, would he still be the one?
100% now. Yeah, I think he's by far and away the best one. Last week I was weighing up possibly Walker, Ake or Gvardiol. And then this game we just reminded me of why it's so dangerous to get a City defender. Two out of the three get benched. Ake to me does seem a lot more secure than the others because he can play centre-back and left-back. And I also like his attack and threat when he's in the box as well. But if there was no such thing as De Bruyne or if he was still injured, then I probably would be buying Ake this week. But I've got Foden, I've got Haaland, and I want De Bruyne. So for that reason, again, I'm just going to avoid the City defence. But if other teams are set up where you can't get three attackers, I think Aki's a great pick.
I know what you mean about De Bruyne. So I've got De Bruyne in my team. That information came in before that he was going to be benched. But I played him anyway. Because I would only do that with a few players. Son, for example. Haaland. These are players where it doesn't matter if they're benched. I'll take 20 minutes over 90 minutes of anyone else. And De Bruyne, and the reason I bring that up is to underline just how good De Bruyne is. And what did he do? He set up Haaland's goal. It's one of Haaland's goals. And towards the end of the match, I thought he was going to score as well. So there could have been a monster haul from like 20 minutes. So yeah, I concur. De Bruyne is a player to get, definitely.
Yeah, on that one where he nearly scored, really poor, because it should have definitely been a second assist if he didn't score, because there was guys available, Haaland and Foden. So he's just, he looks incredible, which is great after his injury. You know, such a good player. We want to see him as often as football, as often as possible on a football pitch as football fans. So owning him, I'm looking forward to owning him again in FPL, and hopefully that's as soon as this week.
And final player on this is Van Dijk. He's a player I got in last week. I don't think it's too late to get him in. He does have a double game week, but I do think he's a player to get in and then get out again, because he doesn't play in 26. But nevertheless, Liverpool have got in 25, they've got Brentford and Luton. And if you did want to keep him into 27 as Nottingham Forest, and I think there is goal scoring opportunities for Van Dijk there. And there's certainly clean sheet opportunities. Two clean sheets so far, five shots inside the box, not too shabby. He's created a chance and plays double game at 25. But yeah, Gabriel, Doughty, these are the players you're looking at. But Van Dijk, I wouldn't have a go at anyone getting him in. I think he's still a good player to get him.
Yeah, he's very close. He's very close to Doughty and Gabriel in my mind, because it's, we always think of double game weeks and centre backs, you know, John Stones, players like this who pop up and get ridiculous amount of points. It's very hard to predict when centre backs are going to score goals. Van Dijk is always a threat, as we know, and probably should score more goals than he actually does, because he has a man mounting when he's in when he's in the box. I like it as a short term move. Again, if you're funding other things, you bring in Van Dijk, you hope you spike a goal in a double game week and maybe a clean sheet or two, and then, like you say, you probably just move off him again and give me 26. So he's a very good pick.
Yep. Let's move on to your bus team for game week 25. So do you want to read it out? Would you prefer if I read it out to save your voice?
I should manage. I'll go through it quickly. Okay. So first thing to say here is triple captainship is active on Erling Haaland.
Right.
And that will probably stay active. So we can talk about that in a sec. David Raya is in goal. Poro against Wolves. Estupinan's away to Sheffield United. And I've got a yellow flag Trent who could go. Foden and Jota with a double game week in midfield, with Saka away to Burnley. Mm-hmm. Palmer's currently there away to Manchester City. Mm-hmm. Triple captain Haaland, Darwin with a vice captaincy, and Solanke away to Newcastle. Mm-hmm. On the bench, Areola, Garnacho, the bonus points magnet, Amari Bell, and Gusto.
Yeah.
So if the deadline was in 5 minutes' time, I would do, I think, probably Trent to Gabriel.
Yeah.
And then Palmer would be the one to go to De Bruyne.
Yeah.
So that would allow me to keep Saka. Yeah. And then you've got a very good team on paper. Question then would be, probably, do I start Bell with two fixtures that are not good, or do I start Estupinan against Sheffield United? I probably would just play the Brighton guy, because I think the Hinshelwood injury is more likely to see Lamptey at right back, more chance of Estupinan keeping his place then at left back. So that's where I'm at. And yeah, triple captain most likely.
Yeah, because Estupinan can play sort of left back, left wing back, left centre back. He's quite versatile down that flank. So, yeah, as soon as I saw the Hinshelwood injury, I thought, well, you know, Estupinan is going to get some starts now, so I'm less keen to get rid of him now. And Lamptey is a good option. Yeah, a couple of things I mentioned there. Like, I mean, you've got Estupinan there playing away to Sheffield United. Yeah, I mean, that's good. But Bell, I mean, I'd be tempted to play Bell just because he's got two fixtures, and he literally stole two bonus points in a game where he was by far not deserving of, well, I'm not saying he's not deserving of them, but there were other players that were more deserving. And so I just think, well, you know, you get two bites of the cherry there. I know it's Manchester United, Liverpool, but I think I'd be tempted to play the double game week player over Estupinan there.
Yeah, and it's going to be a close decision. And I probably should throw Poro into the mix as well, given that Tottenham don't keep many clean sheets. Mm. But I feel like if I don't buy Alfie Doughty, which is unlikely at the moment, I think, then part of me is thinking, if Luton were to spike a lucky clean sheet against one of those teams, at least it kind of offset it a wee bit with Bell, because Doughty's obviously going to have extremely high ownership.
Yes.
So that might swing it for me. Bell might come into the team ahead of Estupinan for that reason.
Yeah, going into game week 23, I think Alfie Doughty's ownership was about 5%, 4%. He's now in a fifth of teams, around my rank, and that's a top 100k-ish. So that'll be similar amongst lots of other ranks as well.
Yeah. I should have said there as well that that would be a minus four if I go Gabriel and De Bruyne.
Yeah, and the other issue is Palmer as well. So my team, Palmer's currently on the bench, and that's pretty much the only fixture I probably would bench him for. And it makes me think, because he's not playing at 26, he is removable. And I mean, I don't have Diogo Jota, and I can move Palmer to Jota, but I would need to do a hit for that. So I have to weigh up that move and minus four, and I might not do that. But the point is that Palmer's definitely ditchable, and I'm playing Garnacho currently over Palmer. Would you consider that? I mean, Garnacho away to Luton looks a miles better fixture than Palmer away to City.
Yeah, I think that makes sense. If I wasn't getting De Bruyne and I was left with Palmer and Garnacho, I think Garnacho will get the start in that scenario. I think for my current setup, I kind of had the mindset of Palmer's a season keeper because of how cheap he was.
Yeah.
But then the landscape changed. Blank in 26, likely, I think, to blank in 29 as well.
Yeah.
Throw in a Manchester City away fixture, it feels fine to go away from him for a bit. And when I've got a Foden and Jota obviously stay, they've got a double. Saka's got Burnley, he's playing well, he's scoring points, you keep him as well. And Garnacho is very useful for the blank, even if I don't use him this week. Yeah. So it's easy in my setup to lose Palmer, I think.
Definitely. And that that triple captaincy, and the last point I make is around the triple captaincy, because one thing you could do is a bench boost instead of a triple captaincy. You could triple captain Solanke against Sheffield United and Luton in game week 28, which looks good. Which looks actually better than Haaland's fixtures, although Haaland is better. You've got Garnacho on your bench away to Luton. That's good. You've got Bell coming on your bench. He's a double game week player. I'd possibly use a hit to just beef that up a bit and have maybe a better goalkeeper, a Flecken, an Alisson maybe, and maybe just beef up Gusto to a double game week player as well. And I suspect because of the type of manager you are around hits, you wouldn't do that. But the reason I bring that up is because other people might have a similar team and they might be a bit more minded to do that. And I don't think a bench boost is that unreasonable given many people have a very similar type bench.
Yeah, I think it's a good point you bring up. It's definitely something people should keep in mind this week. I don't tend to, you know, stress too much about chips or overthink them. I think they get overvalued. My team's a good example. It's not too far away from a very viable bench boost. So let's say I did my current plan of Gabriel in for Trent, De Bruyne comes in for Palmer. Then I'd be looking at my bench and think, right, can I bench boost this? So Bell's fine because he's got two games. Garnacho's great. My first thought would be beef up Gusto.
Yep.
So that's another minus four. So you're looking at minus eight in total. And then it's a decision of, do I keep Areola as part of the bench boost? Not a terrible fixture, or do I take a minus four for another keeper? I would probably just play Areola on my bench boost if I did that and leave it at minus eight instead of minus 12. So you've planted a seed for me to think about, but the type of manager I am, I'm not keen on hits and I like to keep things simple.
Yeah.
And in isolation, when I reflect on the season in game week 38, if I had a choice to captain Erling Haaland or Dominic Solanke, what would I give my, you know, previous self the advice to do? And I think it's Erling Haaland captain. And I thought he looked much better, much sharper as well. So I think, and again, the way I play FPL, I like to kind of stick to original plan. So I think it'll just, the triple captain will just stay active and there will be other opportunities for bench boost. But other managers, don't be afraid to take a couple of hits if you want to get your bench boost out of the way this week.
Okay. I think we'll go now. Save your voice.
Thank you.
I think we've covered most things for Double Gaming 25 and beyond as well. Good luck, those watching. Good luck, Mark, with your team. Just a reminder, do press that like button. Really helps us out. Do subscribe so you can keep up to date with our latest videos and podcasts, wherever you're listening to this or if you're watching on YouTube. Also, do check out fantasyfootballscout.co.uk for membership offers as well. Got those going on as well. So, for example, the table I just did on trying to get Reggie on in. I just made that table this morning. And you can make your own tables like that. And it's quite a good way of comparing different players. So that's quite useful. Mark, good luck with the game week. See you soon.
Cheers, all.